I guess we're back on.
All right, here we go. Well, after that technical difficulty, I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can call us at 293-3914. And or you can stop in the range and just talk about anything you want about guns. You can see if you can if we can satisfy your needs for firearms training, particularly the concealed carry class. If you're new to the firearms world, we have a award-winning First Shots class where you can come in and get some exposure to firearms, learn a little bit about range safety and firearm safety, and then go out on the range under the direct supervision of our trained staff and learn to shoot a firearm. And then we can tell you where you can go if you wish to advance your firearms education needs, and we can get you into additional classes. I also want to let you know that we are open to the public. It is a members-only range, but anybody can come to the range and get a membership on the spot. We just require that you get a background check, and then you'll have to perform a range check to demonstrate to us that you're able to handle the gun safely, and then you can start enjoying the shooting sports. As we've been talking for the last hour or so, Mark and I mentioned we've been off the air for now 6 to 7 weeks, and there's a lot been going on since the beginning of the year, and I just want to let Mark talk a little bit about some of the legislative updates that I know that you're also interested in, and you want to find out what the progress in if you haven't had an opportunity to visit the Buckeye Firearms Association or some of the other websites. Mark, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the important bills that are going on?
Okay, well, one of the big things that happened or started to happen at the end of last year was a change that would allow people who have a license to carry a concealed handgun to go into a restaurant that serves alcohol and then be able to just have a meal with their family as long as they did not consume alcohol themselves. And we were talking, but just before we got preempted for the basketball games in January, that there was going to be a bill introduced. Well, those bills have now been introduced. They are introduced in both the House, Ohio House, and the Ohio Senate. The House bill is House Bill 45, and it's going to change, assuming that it passes in the current form, it would change the way that you can, the fact that you will be able to go into a restaurant and carry your firearm in its holster the way you normally would carry it. You just there is a requirement that you not be consuming liquor when you go into the place, when you go there, so you'd just be able to have your meal with your family, but you'd have to leave the liquor aside. And the other thing that bill changes is to change the way that you can carry in an automobile. And right now there are four ways that you can carry in an automobile. If you have a license to carry concealed handgun, you can carry it loaded, obviously. It can be in a holster on your person. It can be in a console or glove box. It can be in a closed case that's in plain sight, as long as the case closes with a zipper, snap, buckle, or some other kind of a lid. Or it could be in a locked case, and the locked case does not have to be in plain sight. Any of those would be ways that you could legally carry a loaded firearm. If this bill passes in its current form, then there would no longer be any restrictions on how you could carry. There are people who, for example, don't carry in a holster and want to carry inside the waistband with a clip, or carry a revolver in a pocket and it doesn't have a holster. We don't recommend those methods, but we know there's a lot of people out there that do that. And right now, under current law, if you carry in just a pocket without a holster, that is not meeting the requirement for carrying in a motor vehicle legally in Ohio. So this would change that. Also, there are sometimes folks want to mount a holster, like in a truck. They would have a holster that gets mounted maybe to the center console, and you can put the gun in that holster in the truck itself or the vehicle itself. Currently, that's not a legitimate way to carry a loaded firearm. So those, if that bill passes, that would change that provision, as well as allow folks to be able to carry a loaded handgun into an establishment that serves alcohol. So whether that be a bar or a restaurant, any one of the number of restaurants that serve alcohol that has a bar inside the restaurant, you'd be able to go, as long as you're not consuming, then you would be able to go into that place and have a meal with your family or with friends, and you could be the designated driver. You're not having anything to drink, but then you would also be able to, you'd be legally able to go into that place. Right now, you can still drive to a place that serves alcohol, take your gun out, leave it unattended in your motor vehicle, which we really don't think is a great idea in general, but obviously that is the only option in that case. Leave your unattended firearm in the motor vehicle, go into the restaurant, have a meal, even consume alcohol as long as you're responsible and you don't become intoxicated or impaired in some way. And then you could go back out to your vehicle, put your handgun back where it belongs in its holster, and drive home, and it's perfectly legal. There's no violations there at all. But if you leave the holster with the gun in it as you go into the restaurant, right now you've committed a crime, and this would change when that law passes and becomes signed into law. Now, even if you're following this stuff and you are paying attention to the status of the legislation, remember, it doesn't go into effect until 90 days after it's been signed and all of the administrative process gets completed. So we're still at least summertime before we're going to see that go into effect. But the law is making significant progress. At the end of the last session, the progress stopped because the then Speaker of the House decided he did not want that bill voted on and stopped any legislative activity on that bill. In fact, didn't even schedule a voting session at the end of the session of Congress, the session of the legislature, so that that bill could be voted on, because he knew if it was voted on, it would pass. Well, this year, that's a different story. Since the election in November, we have a completely different balance. And the folks that are in charge of the operations in the House and the Senate both are all in support of keeping this going and having the bill pass. And Governor Kasich has said that he would sign that bill. And so we're all standing by waiting for things to happen. The bill has left committee. It has been passed out of committee and onto the floor. So we will have more progress to follow on that as well. And it's what's happening right now is all good news. If you'd like to give us a call at the show, if you'd like to be part of the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. We'd love to get your comments maybe on this legislation or other things that are happening right now. Maybe you just have some questions about concealed carry. Maybe there's something that's come up, a discussion with you and some of your friends about what are the legal ways to carry or where can you go, what type of firearms are suitable. And give us a call at 457-1290, and we'd like to get you on the air.
I want to remind our listeners, there's another issue that frequently comes up when people are asking us about concealed holder's license, and that's this whole concept of reciprocity. Well, there's also federal legislation that's been introduced that will, I'm not going to say solve the problem, but it's going to move us to a more unified standard nationwide, where the people wouldn't have to worry so much about when you're traveling, if you have to worry, you know, when you're traveling state to state, what the rules are. And the whole idea there is just to get some consistency and uniformity, because you're no less safe or you're no safer, I guess, in your home state than you are in other states. So therefore, you should have the right to carry and protect yourself wherever you might be. Matter of fact, there are certain places where you might travel across the country that you're less safe, and it's even a greater need for you to be able to carry. Mark, you want to mention just some of the issues concerning that issue?
Yeah, that's House Resolution 822 is the National Right to Carry Reciprocity Bill of 2011. There was another bill, that number slip in my mind. It was in the 190, I think 197 was the bill in the last session of Congress, but that didn't go anywhere. There are many sponsors to this bill. It's only been in place for a few weeks. It was introduced since our last show, so it's not been that long, and there are already over 80 sponsors to that bill. So if your Ohio representative is not on that bill, let them know that you support that you support the National Right to Carry Reciprocity Bill of 2011. That's House Resolution 822, H.R. 822.
There's other issues concerning reciprocity that frequently come up. Again, Sim Trainer's recommendation for many people: make sure you get the concealed holder's license in your home state before
Absolutely.
You start branching out to other states, because it only makes sense. And the whole purpose of reciprocity is to allow for the extension of your right to carry in one state to go to other states. And, of course, the states have to enter into what sometimes seem to be very complicated agreements, but hopefully the national carry situation might evolve and minimize those problems.
So we're going to have to take a break here. So when we come back, we'll talk to Phil and Anthony, who are waiting for us on the line. You can give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290, and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. And let's go back out to the phones, or let's go right out to the phones. Talk to Phil in Riverside, who's called in. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today, sir?
We are doing great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about the CCW
thing. Okay.
I took the class like 2 months ago, and I haven't gone down to get the license yet. And the reason being, I had a domestic violence charge brought against me 15 years ago. I was arrested. It didn't go to court. It was dropped, but it still went to BCI in London, Ohio. And it's still a matter of record, and I'm just wondering what my next step should be.
Now, you say you haven't gone down yet to apply for the permit, is that correct?
Well, I've talked to them down at the courthouse, and they told me, well, that could be a problem when you come down and apply, so you need to take care of that.
Okay. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to go down, and I want you to apply, and then make them give you some sort of official notification, because it's actually gone both ways, where a charge is dropped, and there's no subsequent litigation. Technically, it's a domestic violence conviction that's going to restrict you from getting the license ultimately.
And that wouldn't be a conviction, or you didn't plead guilty or anything like that.
I never went to court. I was arrested and then released, and there was no charges brought.
Right. In the two cases where I'm aware of it happening in our jurisdiction, it was a matter of them wanting to follow up and make sure that the entries in the courts of record were accurate as opposed to the printout that came through on the criminal history. So I want to encourage you to go through the process of applying and then get some sort of documentation, because I got a feeling it's not going to be restrictive. So you won't know until you apply, and there's no adverse action that can be taken against you for applying and starting that process in motion.
Okay. I would go to BCI, or...
You're not going to go to BCI. You're going to go to the Sheriff's Department in your county or an adjacent county, fill out the application, roll the fingerprints, take the photo, and let them set the process in motion.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help, sir.
Okay. That's a question that frequently comes up, and it is an area that has caused a little bit of concern, only because of the way records are retained in respective jurisdictions, but you got to get the ball rolling and make it happen in order for those things to be clarified.
Thanks for calling. Let's go out to Anthony, who's calling from Kettering. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
All right. Well, in 2002, when I was playing baseball for Sinclair, I took a class at the Ohio Peace Officer Training Commission class. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. So it said that it was completed. I have a certificate signed by several different people. And I never did actually purchase a weapon. So I trained with a Glock 9, 17. Scored 100% on both training classes. They scored us for our specific class and then the actual same test that they do for the officers. And I'm wondering what the next step was. I just heard the last call, so that seems like the exact same road I'd want to go down.
Well, no, first thing, your Ohio Peace Officers Training Commission class, was that the entire academy? Did you take a 4 or 6 month academy, a series of classes over time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If it's been that long, it's expired, it's no longer valid. So you're either going to have to go that route and either go private security or law enforcement and then get employed in one of those two capacities, and or take the civilian concealed holder's license class, CCW class, in order to get a concealed holder license so that you can carry on your person privately as an individual.
Okay, so from the time from 2002 until it looks like 2004, I was able to carry with just that class?
No.
Well, you'd have to still have had a license, and the license didn't go into effect until 2004.
And the license, or actually the certification you got in that class, was only applicable within the scope of the employment, whether it was private security or law enforcement. If you weren't employed at least part-time in the law enforcement field within the first year, you would have to take some update training to keep that certificate valid, and it sounds like neither of those things happened. Is that correct?
I see. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was actually doing just private security locally for, you know, Moonlight and,
right. Mm-hmm. Unarmed
and whatnot at the time.
Yeah. Unarmed security?
Usually it was.
Okay.
If we had a weapon we could carry, I thought since I took all the classes, took the training, scored highly, that I was able to carry at that point. But I think you're right on the right track. I think that would have been for the specific job.
That's right. Right. It's only within the scope of your employment, Anthony.
Okay, cool. So that's not going to give me, because I have been carrying, you know, other weapons like my dad's, my brother's, so I'm glad I called you guys, because
right.
I could probably end up in a little bit of trouble
for
that. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for calling. We need to take a break at the bottom of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, going over to Charles Van Sant in the News Center on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery. And I want to remind our listeners about a few things we have upcoming at Sim Trainer that might be of interest. First of all, the next class we have available that people may be interested in is our First Shots class. The one on the 24th is full, unfortunately, but we have a few slots open April 2nd, that class runs from 4 to 7 p.m. There's a few slots open there. And we have plenty of slots open in our concealed carry class next month, which will run April 11th through the 14th. That's Monday through Thursday, April 11th through the 14th from 5:30 to 9:30. And there are plenty of spots available for that particular class. And if you're interested in joining in, I'm going to encourage you to call down to the range, stop down the range, register online, and get in those classes. We also have a basic handgun coming up next Saturday. That's a week from today. That'll be next Saturday evening from 4 to 8 p.m.
And the right nice after thing, the show, actually.
Yeah, right. The nice thing about that particular class is that gives you an opportunity, if you're not sure what gun you're wanting or you're not very familiar with shooting semi-automatic pistols and or revolvers, we let you shoot anywhere from, I think, as many as 8 we've had out at a time, where we let you go stall to stall to stall, find out the one that's right for you, and then you spend the rest of the class working with that particular gun after you spend about an hour to an hour and a half in the classroom, where we talk about the basic fundamentals of marksmanship and weapons handling, and we'll get you to a very competent level, and it will make you very proficient with the use of the gun you ultimately choose by the end of that four-hour session. That costs only $79. It's a great investment for somebody that's interested in ultimately going on for concealed carry, and or if they just want to get involved in the shooting sports, it's going to give you a real sound foundation on the fundamentals of shooting. Hey, Mark, let's go out to the phones. We have a few callers on the line.
Let's talk to Tim in Fairborn, who's called in. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
We are doing great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Good. I'm not in a good cell area, so I'm going to ask my question and hang up and listen to the answer on the airwaves here. But my question is, are you aware of any consolidated effort from any of the groups that support concealed carry of trying to get a policy from Wright-Patterson to permit carrying on the base under any circumstance in a locked case inside the vehicle or anything that would actually promote individuals commuting to and from work of being able to at least carry their weapon when they get off the base or anything like that? That's my question.
I will tell you, that's a very good question, Tim, and it's unfortunate that the answer is going to be nothing in the works at the present time. I will tell you that I think the only way those kinds of things are going to happen is where people like yourself get together with a whole bunch of other people like yourself and you start voicing your opinion about these issues, because quite frankly, in my professional opinion, it's people who aren't very informed about the reality of the way the world, or they're not accepting the way the world is, that make those policies. Now, I don't mean to be overly critical, but the bottom line is this. Violence yields its ugly head everywhere, whether it's on a military base, as we found out just in the last year, or college campuses, or privately owned businesses, or out in the public. It's just the fact of life. And to take away an individual's right to defend themselves because you're concerned more about the gun itself being on base just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it goes back to the argument that it's the gun that's the problem as opposed to the bad guy. And here's another thing I know. Whether it's the base or some other entity that restricts access to firearms, bad guys, if they want to get there, they can get there with the gun and they can do a whole lot of damage. And it's just unfortunate the way things are right now, but I think it's going to be an evolution process that occurs. I want to share with you in a very general sense, there's one major corporation in the Dayton area that does not wish to be named at the present time that in the last several months just enacted a policy internally that they allow anyone who has their concealed holder's license and has had the requisite training consistent with what the state of Iowa mandates for acquiring the concealed holder's license to carry a gun on their property at work, to work, and eliminate some of those problems. One of the biggest problems that comes out, just as an example, with people that want to come down to the range to shoot. We have a large business right across the street from our particular facility. And they're literally right across the street. Some of the workers come from all over the Miami Valley and beyond
to work. Well, they want to shoot at the range. Well, they have to park their vehicle over on our parking lot, walk over to work, complete their tour of duty, come back over, get in their car, get their gun, shoot, and then go home. And that's ridiculous when all they wanted to do is basically store their gun on the premises while they were at work and then come and shoot recreationally. They didn't even want to go so far as to carry it on their person for personal protection, although some of them, if they were granted that opportunity, certainly would, because it's a good thing and people understand that even in their work environment, they may come across people who intend to do them harm and they want to be able to defend themselves. So I think the simple answer to your question, that was the wrong way around, but the simple answer to the question is that it's going to take people like yourself to get a petition going, start talking to the people that make those decisions, and hopefully we can kind of instill some rational mindset in some of their thought processes referenced to this whole topic.
I would love to see the Rod and Gun Club pick this up as an active process for them to deal with, to say that, you know, they're going to be the kind of the focal point to pull this information together. And I'm not laying this on them to say that they need to do that or that they that you know, is part of their job responsibility. But I think that would be a great focal point. And if people who are members out at the base, at the base Rod and Gun Club, like me, I'm a member out at the Rod and Gun Club, just start collecting this information. And at some point, I think it would be a legitimate question to bring to the base commander to say, ma'am, we'd like to be able to have firearms not carried on the person, just brought into the facility, maybe wear them as you would normally carry in a vehicle while you're out driving around. But then when you get to the base, you can lock the firearm in the motor vehicle and then go to complete your work. And then when you leave, you don't have to be disarmed simply because you were going to the base. Now, the base commander does have the authority to make that kind of a policy. Federal law bans carry on federal property as a general blanket rule, but the base commander has the authority to set their own procedures and policies for that. So it's certainly a question that the federal law is biased against us. It's biased against being able to have a firearm on the base. But there are ways to make exceptions to that, and I think that's a perfectly legitimate question. I know many people that are members of the range that work out at the base, and they say, why should I bother getting a license to carry a concealed handgun? Because most of the time when I'm going out to work, most of the time I'm going to have either been at the base, or even if I'm going somewhere else, I'm going to end up stopping at the base, and then I can't even go onto the base property. I can't go through the gate if I have my firearm in the vehicle. Not just on my person, but even anywhere in the vehicle, you can't go on the base. So yep. I think that's a wrong policy. I think it's something that ought to be fixed. And thanks very much for asking the question.
Well, you know, and another issue related to that, when people want to voice their opinions, it does make a difference. And just recently, and I can't remember what state, I believe it was Texas, I think they just passed legislation, or they're about to pass legislation, which will authorize carry on college campuses. Yes, in certain locations. So I'm sure as recently as a year ago, certainly 5 years ago, they thought there's no way it's ever going to happen. Well, people voice their opinion. Obviously, they contacted their legislatures, and now it's about to, or it has become law, and that's the process.
And
this is an evolution. That's right. This is an evolution process, and each step forward we make is going to help other states and other entities and hopefully people at the base and other similar situations to make progress in their particular situation.
Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Doug in Kennerville, who's got a question for us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm an NRA member, and I will be attending the NRA annual meetings that's in Pittsburgh next month. And this will be my first time attending that. Now, I do have my Ohio license to carry, and I do have a Pennsylvania license to carry. And so my question is, have either of you guys heard whether or not carry will be permitted in and around the convention center there for the NRA meeting?
I do not know the answer to that question yet, and we're going to have to take that and get back to you. I tried to do a little bit of research from the time you called while we were on the break, and unfortunately, they haven't posted that information yet. Normally, they do, because everybody asks that question. Everybody that goes to the annual meeting, obviously, there's a lot of gun owners in the National Rifle Association. A lot of them have licenses to carry concealed handgun. And although, as you note, Ohio does not have reciprocity with Pennsylvania, it's not too difficult to get a Pennsylvania non-resident license, and I have one as well. So what we'll have to do is find out what the venue allows. In Arizona, for example, that's the last meeting that I was able to attend. the facility it had a liquor license. And at that time in Arizona, if the place has a liquor license, you can't carry there. They've since changed the law in Arizona, but for the duration of the NRA annual meeting, they suspended the liquor license in the convention center so that people who had a license to carry and could otherwise carry in Arizona would be able to carry at the NRA annual meeting. So I don't know what the answer is to your question just yet, and we'll find out some detail. I'll contact the folks at the NRA annual meeting office and let them know that we've had this question, and I'm sure that this is not the first time they've heard that question as well. So maybe by next week or the week after, we'll have an answer back to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's talk to Tim in Englewood, who has a question about concealed carry in the car. Welcome to the show. Tim, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
My question actually was about parking lot carry. You kind of touched on it. But, I mean, has that been reintroduced? I mean, Boudreaux, the former Speaker of the House, didn't do us very well by not scheduling a voting session. But there's nothing we can do about that.
No, that's true. I don't know that there was actually a bill introduced for concealed carry that would allow storage of weapons. I know that that had been talked about, but I didn't know for sure if it got introduced. You're absolutely right. It obviously didn't get passed. That bill has not yet been introduced in the current session that I'm aware of, but I know there are several things waiting in the wings. The first two bills, the restoration of rights and the concealed carry in restaurants and also car carry, are the first two that are being addressed. And then when those go through, that's sort of kind of a litmus test of the new legislature and the new administration. And I know that there are several other things that are waiting in the wings. So as far as I know, that has not yet been introduced, but it's certainly something a lot of people are interested in.
Okay, that sounds good. One more thing. On the national reciprocity, I'm not sure I share your enthusiasm for it. Once the federal government steps in and extends this reciprocity, that sets up someone like Senator Boxer from California for reintroducing some bill she was supposed to be trying to do.
Tim, hang on just a minute because we got to take a break. We'll come back to you after the break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Just before we went out to the break, we were talking to Tim in Englewood about National Concealed Carry Reciprocity. And Tim, thanks for sticking with us through the break.
Just wanted to say with the National Reciprocity, once the federal government's involved, it can set up, say, someone like Senator Boxer in California wants to introduce a bill requiring all the standards to be the same. She wants to push it back from shall issue to may issue.
Well, and you're absolutely right but that could happen regardless of whether it's national concealed carry or just because it's Barbara Boxer and she hates guns, and because she's from California and she's friends with Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, who would take all their guns if they had the ability to do so. They've said that they would do that
for their bodyguards and protection teams.
Oh yeah, except for them. So you're right that there's certainly the risk that could happen, and that could happen regardless. There's one other issue that I think is also important to address, and that this bill does not establish a national concealed carry license. Each state would still issue their own licenses, and the only thing that would happen with this is that any state that issues a license would be required to recognize the license issued by any other state under full faith and credit, just as they do driver's license, for example. And driving is a privilege, it's not a right, whereas your ability to keep and carry a firearm is a right.
Would someone in California then be able to get an out-of-state concealed carry license?
It would no longer be necessary. If they're in California and they get a license to carry a concealed handgun in California, then they would be able to use that license and carry anywhere. Now, if California won't issue them a license because they live in, say, San Francisco, and that county sheriff won't issue a license, or in Orange County where they've been having all kinds of problems and been canceling and pulling licenses from people, that's a problem that would be a different issue that is a state issue that needs to be resolved within the state. But if you, as an Ohio resident, have a license to carry in Ohio, when you travel to California, they would not be able to restrict your ability to carry. They would not be able to prohibit you from carrying because you do not have a California license. They would be required to recognize your Ohio license under full faith and credit.
could a Californian who didn't have a license in California apply for one in Utah or Florida or whatever, get it, and then would they have to recognize it in California?
I don't think so. But I'd have to read the full text. I haven't looked at the bill that deeply to find out what the narrative is and to see whether or not it recognizes every license or only licenses issued by the state of residence. I think part of the problem that we have with concealed carry right now is, first, the right to keep and bear arms has been infringed and restricted in ways that it never was intended by the founders. And clearly that's the problem in places like California and New York and New Jersey, where they won't issue you a license just because they don't like the fact that you might want a gun. That's a different kind of problem, and I think the people in those states need to resolve those issues themselves. What national concealed carry reciprocity would do is that if you were wise enough to choose a state to live in that recognizes your right to keep and bear arms and will allow you to get a license, or doesn't even require you to have a license to carry a concealed handgun, then when you travel to another state, that state doesn't have the right to rip that that carrying from you and rip that protection from you.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for your time.
Tim, that was a good call. And again, that just comes down to the whole issue of this is going to be a process. And like Mark says, there are different issues on different fronts that need to be addressed. But I think if we continue the momentum that we developed over the last several years that we kind of let wane for a long time, you know, 20, 30 years in our history, we just kind of took things for granted and things kind of got out of control. Now we're kind of pulling the strings back, and it's important that we get that done.
Yeah, and we have a lot of work to do. I mean, there's a whole lot of areas where the rights have been infringed, and part of the reason we put this show together was to bring the actual facts to you to let people know what's really going on so that you can take action yourself, that you can contact your legislator, that you can contact your state representative and state senator, and make sure that the actions that are going on in the Ohio State House and in the Congress and in Washington are in line with the things that you believe, in line with the Constitution, and in line with what you would have them do on your behalf. And I think that's something that we as citizens need to take an active role in. Yep, we're about at the end of the show, so we are really glad to be back, and we thank everyone for joining us. Thanks to the folks who called into the show. Let me encourage you to pay attention to what's going on. We will have additional notes available on our website after the show, probably by the end of the weekend. And then also you can be sure to go to the Buckeye Firearms Association website, because there's a tremendous amount of information available there as to what's going on in legislature, in the Ohio legislature, different bills that are going on, and things that you can follow and track there as well. So we'll be headed out here at the top of the hour. We want to turn the show back over to Charles Van Sant in the newsroom. And we want to welcome you, invite you back to join us next week on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.